الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back once again to another episode of our silsila, O You Who Believe. In this silsila, we take a look at those verses of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has begun with the beautiful address, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, O You Who Believe. We take an in-depth look at these verses and we see what pearls of wisdom and guidance they hold for us. Today, inshaAllah, we'll be looking at another such verse and seeing what topic this verse addresses and what pearls of guidance there are for us to implement to improve our lives, to become better Muslims, and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before moving on to today's verse and today's topic, I'll share with you a blessing and a virtue of reciting Durood Sharif, reciting Salawat, reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال جزى الله عنا محمدا مما هو أهله. Whoever says the words جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله أتعب سبعين كاتبا ألف صباح. 70 angels write good deeds in his account for 1,000 days. Subhanallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 119, addresses the believers, addresses the people of faith and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And be with the truthful. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted the importance of taqwa, of piety and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a concept that has been mentioned in other verses that we have discussed in previous episodes, which also began with the words, O you who believe. In the next part of the verse, Allah Almighty said, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the truthful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering those who believe, the people of faith, the believers, to adopt the company of those who are truthful. The scholars teach us that this particular verse of the Quran is teaching us the importance of good company. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to adopt the company of those who are truthful, those who tell the truth. And throughout the Holy Quran, there are many passages in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of good company and the dangers of adopting bad company. In Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes what the person who is given punishment on the Day of Judgment will say. A person who failed to adopt the correct path, a person who failed to act upon the teachings of Islam, a person who failed to act upon the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment, when that person is confronted with the punishment of the hereafter, that person will say, and Allah Almighty quotes this in the Holy Quran, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Woe is to me, destruction is to me, if only I hadn't taken such and such as a friend. Meaning that person will be somebody who was influenced by his friend to disbelieve, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to not accept the teachings of Islam. And because of the influence of that friend, that person now when he is facing punishment, he will reflect upon the way he spent his life. And now he will yearn, he will wish that if only I hadn't taken such and such for a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Indeed, he misguided me from remembrance after it had come to me. After the remembrance, after the revelation had come, after the guidance had come, after everything had become clear, that individual, so-and-so, was the one who misguided me. He turned me away from the truth. He turned me away from the teachings of the Qur'an, the teachings of Islam. Viewers of Madani Channel, it's time for us to reflect upon our friend circle. Those who are around us, those who we spend time with. May it not be that on the Day of Judgment, we too are saying the same statement. If today we adopt friends who invite us to commit sin, who invite us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it could be that those who fall into the influence of such bad friends, such evil friends, those who fall into the influence, those who are biased, those who are affected by these negative, by this bad company, it could well be that those people on the Day of Judgment are looking at those friends and saying, if only I hadn't taken such and such for a friend. If I hadn't taken him for a friend, then maybe I would have been on the right path in the world. If I was in the right path whilst I was in the world, then today I wouldn't be facing punishment. Elsewhere in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what those people who followed others, who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disbelieved because of following others, what they will say, those who, because of the company that they kept, they ended up being led astray, being misguided. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 166, Allah Almighty says, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. When those who were followed will say that we have nothing to do with those who followed. So when those people who followed other people in disbelief, in disobedience, when they will say, Ya Allah, it was because of such and such people, it's because we followed such and such people. Those people who were followed will say, Ya Allah, we have nothing to do with these people. وَرَعَوُ الْعَذَابِ. And they will see the punishment. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. And all of their connections amongst each other, all of their connections between each other will be cut off. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Zukhruf says, أَلْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that friends, on that day, on the Day of Judgment, some of them will be enemies of others. Those friends will turn to enemies on that day. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, except for the pious. It's the pious, pious friends who will come to our aid and assist us on the Day of Judgment. Otherwise, friends who influence us to commit sins, those are not really our friends. They are our enemies. And the fact that they are our enemies will be revealed on the Day of Judgment. It's important for us to ensure that we adopt a good company. And when it comes to good company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be with the truthful. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has also given many examples of the people who are good and what constitutes good company in the ahadith. In one famous narration in Bukhari and Muslim, the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the example of a good companion and a bad companion is like the seller of musk and the blacksmith. Good company is like the seller of musk, and the bad companion is like the blacksmith. Why is this example being given? The Prophet ﷺ continues and says, as for the seller of musk, when you go and sit in his company, either he will gift you some itr, either he will gift you some perfume, or you will buy some from him, or at the very least, even if he doesn't gift you any perfume, and even if you don't buy any perfume from him, at the very least, you will gain the benefit of enjoying a pleasant smell from him. That's the blessings of good company. When you adopt good company, you will definitely attain some kind of benefit. As for the blacksmith, then if you adopt his company, either your clothes will become burnt. Either he will burn your clothes, or at the very least, you will leave with a foul smell attached to yourself and to your clothes. So at the very least, even if your clothes are not burnt and damaged, at the very least you will leave there with a foul smell attached to you. Meaning that when you adopt bad company, you will always be affected by some type of negativity of that bad company. You will definitely come away with some kind of negative attribute because of that bad company. And in the commentary of this hadith, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has compared a good companion to a seller of musk, a seller of perfume, and spoke of the virtue of having companions who are good, who have noble manners, piety, and knowledge. Such are those who grant us from their virtue. Meaning when adopting the company of the virtuous, we too attain virtue. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade us to sit with those who do evil, who commit a lot of sins and other bad deeds, as well as with innovators, backbiters, and so forth. Another scholar says that keeping good company with the pious results in the attainment of beneficial knowledge, noble manners, and righteous actions. Whereas keeping the company of wicked people, of evil people, of sinful people, prevents a person from that. Many times a person will go to spend time with his friends, and whilst he's spending time with his friends, because those friends don't perform salah, the time of salah will come and go, and he won't even realize it. The evil company of those friends, the sinful company, even if at that time they are not engaged in any other sin, even at that time if they are just engaged in having a cup of coffee together, having a milkshake together, and just spending time and talking, and the discussion, the conversation, doesn't entail any of the sin. But if those people are not punctual in offering salah, and the time of salah comes and goes, and nobody even bats an eyelid, nobody even realizes, then even a person who is usually punctual of his salah, when he is in that company, that person might too forget his salah, might too commit the major sin of missing his salah. Views of Madani Channel, it's important for us to reflect upon the company that we keep. It's important for us to think about which friends we have adopted. Sayyidi Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahimahullah, he says that to sit in the company of pious people is better than doing good, and to sit in the company of evil people is worse than doing evil. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says that the company of a shameless man in this world will bring shame to you on the Day of Judgment. And it's reported that Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, he once said to his son-in-law, كُلُّ أَخٍ وَصَاحِبٍ لَمْ تَسْتَفِدْ مِنْهُ فِي دِينِكَ خَيْرًا فَأَنْبِذْ عَنْكَ صُحْبَتَهُ حَتَّى تَسْلَمْ. He said, every friend of yours, every companion of yours, who you do not benefit from in your religion, who you do not attain any goodness from in your religion. So if you have any companions, this is a question to us too. It's a question that the views of Madinah Inshallah should reflect upon. When we think about the list of our friends, when you think about our friend circle, think about each and every single individual friend. And think to yourself, does that friend benefit me in my deen? When I'm in the company of that friend, do I come away with any type of goodness in my religion? If that's not the case, the advice of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, this great wali of Allah, this great saint of Allah, his advice is, فَأَنْبِذْ عَنْكَ صُحْبَتَهُ حَتَّى تَسْلَمْ. That if your friend does not give you any benefit in your deen, then turn away from him. Then remove your companionship from him so that you can be protected, so that you can be safe. Meaning safety lies in refraining from the company of such people. And it's also mentioned regarding company that when it comes to bad company, it's up to a person himself to rid himself of that company. And this is one of the most difficult things for a person, and one of the biggest obstacles for a person when trying to adopt piety and when trying to come onto the path of righteousness. Because even our enemy is Shaitan, the devil. And Shaitan sometimes influences a human being, and whispers to a human being and makes him commit sin. But when a person says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, when a person seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the accursed devil by saying these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the influence of Shaitan from him. A person can seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Shaitan through these words, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. He can come into the refuge, the protection of Allah. But when it comes to bad company, a person has to get away from it himself. It's something that a person has to focus on himself. First of all, have the realization that his company is bad. His company is having a negative effect on him. His company is taking him away from his Lord, away from the teachings of Islam. After making that realization, now through his own willpower, he has to separate himself from that company. If he's successful in doing so, and then he adopts good company, the company of the righteous, the company of the pious, the company of the truthful, then this will aid him in perfecting his faith, in becoming a true believer. As Allah Almighty said in the verse that we started with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ O you who believe, fear Allah, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ And be with those who are truthful. And when it comes to those who are truthful, it's also important to highlight, as the scholars do in the light of this verse, that Allah Almighty has declared those who tell the truth, the people who are truthful, as good company, and has instructed the believers to be with those who tell the truth. And telling the truth, sidq, is something which has so many blessings, so many barakat. The famous story of Sayyidul Awliya, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, that as a young man, when he was leaving his hometown, and he was traveling to Baghdad in his search for knowledge, in his quest for knowledge, he mentions that his mother sewed 40 dinar, 40 gold coins, into his clothing. And when his mother did this, when she sewed these 40 coins into his clothing, she said to him, that one piece of advice for you, my son, no matter what happens in life, always speak the truth. Shaykh Abdul Qadir, rahimahullah, he made this promise to his mother that he would always tell the truth, and he set off on his journey for Baghdad. In those days, people used to travel in groups, on animals, on camels, some on foot, and the roads were very dangerous. And there was always the danger of being attacked by gangs of bandits and highway robbers. On this journey, when they reached the city of Hamdan, and they passed through the forest beyond the city, they were attacked by a band of robbers, by a band of highway robbers, these bandits. And the leader of this band, he instructed his other disciples, the other robbers, to take all of the belongings of everybody in that traveling group. So, those robbers went to each traveler and said, give us all of your belongings. And whatever belongings they could see, apparently they took. And they asked the people, do you have anything else? When they went to Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, the young man who was just going out on his search for knowledge, his quest for knowledge, he mentions that the person asked, and the young Shaykh Abdul Qadir rahimahullah, he turned around and he said to that robber that, I have 40 dinar, I have 40 coins sewed into my clothing. The robber didn't believe him for two main reasons. The first reason was that he was a very young man, and 40 gold coins was a huge amount of money at that time. They didn't believe that this young man would have that amount of money. And secondly, whenever those robbers were experienced robbers, whenever they had robbed anyone before, and they had asked that person, do you have any wealth on you? Do you have anything else that we can't see? People would always reply in the negative to protect their wealth. So this young man, who is telling us that he has these 40 coins sold in his clothing, he's not hiding it from us to protect his wealth. That means that he must not be telling the truth. So they didn't believe it. But when they went to the leader asked, what have you brought? What's the booty that you've stolen from all of these travelers? And when they reported back whatever they had stolen to the leader, The leader asked, "Did you ask anybody else if they had anything else?" He said, "Yes, there was one boy, one young man. We asked him whether he had anything else, and he said he had these 40 gold coins sold in his clothing. But we didn't believe him." The person went back. The leader himself now goes to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah. The leader himself, he says, that, "Do you have anything else?" He says, "Yes, I have 40 gold coins hidden in my clothing." "Okay, show me, where is it?" Shaykh Abdul Qadir, rahimahullah, he uncovers the secret pouch that his mother had sewn, and he takes out those 40 gold coins. At this, the leader of the robbers is astonished. And all of the robbers are shocked and amazed. And says, "If nobody could see that you had this money, then why did you show us where it was hidden? Why did you declare, first of all, that you have these 40 gold coins sewn in your clothing? And why did you reveal where it was hidden? And why did you take it out? You could have just said that you don't have anything else, and your 40 gold coins would have been safe." Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, he gave the reply that would change the life of that robber. Subhanallah. He replied and he said, "When I left for Baghdad, I promised my mother that I will never speak a lie under any circumstance. Because of this promise to my mother, I knew that I could not tell a lie in this situation." Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing this, the leader of the robbers began to weep. Tears began to flow from his eyes. And he said that if this young man remembers the promise that he has made to his mother, and because of that, he is refraining from a lie, even though that lie will cause him to lose all of his wealth, then what about me? I have spent my entire life violating the promise that I have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise that I have as a Muslim to follow the teachings of Islam. Throughout my life, I have violated that promise. I have broken that promise. Allahu Akbar. He felt extreme shame. And he says that now he began to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He performed tawbah at the hands of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu. And all of those in his gang, all of the robbers in his gang, also performed tawbah. And they all, the leader and all the robbers, became pious and practicing Muslims. Subhanallah. This, views of Madinah channel, is the importance of telling the truth and the barakah and the blessings of telling the truth. With the blessings of that one truthful statement of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu, this gang of robbers were all guided to the path of piety. They left the profession of highway robbery. They left their way of life. They left the impermissible means of income that they had adopted. And they stepped onto the path of piety. They returned all the belongings that they had stolen to those people. And this truthful statement led to the tawbah and the repentance of this entire gang of robbers. This is why it's mentioned in the hadith that truthfulness brings salvation and lying causes destruction. And we find that when a person tells a lie, and to back up that one lie, he has to tell another lie. And to back up that other lie, then he has to tell a third lie. And one lie leads to another, until that person realizes that he's in a complete web of lies. And then when that web of lies is uncovered, that person faces nothing but embarrassment. When a person tells the truth, then for the short term, he might even have to face difficulty. But that person has contentment in his heart that he didn't lie. And he doesn't need to do anything to cover his tracks. When a person tells a lie, he mentions that a person tells a lie and he continues to lie. When a person continues to lie, he reaches such a stage that he becomes written as kadhab, as the one who lies abundantly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person tells the truth and he continues to tell the truth, that person is written as siddiq, the person who is extremely truthful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such are the blessings of telling the truth. And when it comes to the importance of telling the truth and the harms of telling a lie, it's very, very important for us to realize that lying is not just something that affects us in this world. It's not just something that affects things that we can see. Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Jawzi, rahimahullah, he says, when a person tells a lie without any valid reason, a foul smell comes out of his mouth. That foul smell reaches the arsh, the throne. And the angels who are holding the arsh, they curse that liar. And 80,000 angels along with them also curse him. And 80 sins are recorded for him. And the least of those 80 sins is similar in size to Mount Uhud. Allahu Akbar. And in Fatawa Radawiya, it mentions that lying and backbiting are the filth of the inner. Therefore, when a person lies or backbites, such an unpleasant smell comes out of their mouth that the protecting angels move away from him at that time. We do not feel this unpleasant smell of a lie or backbiting because we have got used to it. Our noses are filled with this foul smell. It's like people who live in a neighborhood where there's a factory that produces foul smells. After a while, they get used to it. People who live in that neighborhood, they don't get bothered by this unpleasant smell. But if someone new comes to that area, it might even be difficult for him to breathe until he gets used to that particular smell. So Muslims should keep this example in mind and should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should give up telling lies and doing backbiting. If our inner sense of smell was opened, we would realize that the unpleasant smell of a lie and backbiting is worse than the smell of even feces. Allahu Akbar. It mentions in the Holy Quran, in Ayah 105 of Surah An-Nahl, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّمَا يَفْتَرِ الْكَذِبَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. Only those who do not believe in Allah's signs attribute lies and fabrications, and they themselves are liars. Regarding this ayah, it mentions in Tafsir Khazin that the infidels, the disbelievers, slandered the beloved Prophet ﷺ in relation to the Holy Quran, saying that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'azallah, had made his own Qur'an. This blessed ayah rejected this slander and refuted those disbelievers. And the summary of this blessed ayah is as follows. Lying and slandering are solely the acts of non-believers. Lying and slandering are solely the acts of disbelievers. So if a believer is lying, then he is involved in an action which is from the actions of the disbelievers. So it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to realize that this tongue that Allah Almighty has given us, if we use this tongue to lie, then this will come back to haunt us. And lying is an action which is considered from the actions of the disbelievers. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, in the tafsir of this verse, he says that this blessed ayah is a proof that lying is the worst of all major sins and the worst of all evils, because only that person can dare to tell a lie and blame others who does not believe in the signs of Allah or who is a non-Muslim. Furthermore, the condemnation of lying coming from Allah Azza wa Jal in such strict words is an extremely stern warning. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madinah Channel, did you see how lying is a character of the non-believers? It's mentioned that lying is such a bad habit that it was even strongly disliked by leaders of tribes, even in the time of Jahiliyyah. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, the leaders of the tribes did not like to be attributed to lies. When the invitation of Islam was given to the king of Rome, in the form of a letter of the Prophet ﷺ, he called Abu Sufyan to his court. At that time, Abu Sufyan had not reverted to Islam. He had not become a Muslim yet. The king of Rome asked Abu Sufyan many questions in order to judge the reality of the prophethood of our beloved Nabi ﷺ. Although due to unbelief at that time, Abu Sufyan hadn't yet become a Muslim. So he used to have this enmity towards the Prophet ﷺ in his heart. Despite this, he answered all of the questions truthfully to the king of Rome. When he was asked about the character and the manners of the Prophet ﷺ, he told the truth. That he's the best of character, he has the best of lineage. He always fulfilled his promises. He talked in a praiseworthy manner about the manners of the Prophet ﷺ, truthfully, without lying, merely because he did not want to be called a liar in society. And he himself mentioned, and this is stated in the hadith, the reason why he did not lie. It says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ الْحَيَاءُ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْثِرُ عَلَيَّ كَذِبًا لَكَذَبْتُ عَنْهُ. He says that if I had not felt shame that people would attribute me to lies, then I would have lied about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, it becomes obvious from this incident that people used to hate lies strongly even prior to Islam. So how bad is it if disbelievers in previous times, before they accepted Islam, in the time of ignorance, in the time of Jahiliyyah, at that time lying was considered an evil trait. How bad is it if a Muslim today has this action or commits this sin of lying? Allah Azza wa Jal, in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Hajj, has ordered us, وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, and avoid false speech. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to refrain from lying, to avoid false speech. Because lying is a sign of weak faith. And because of this, a person who lies, he mentions in one narration, that the person who lies, this leads a person to the hellfire. Once a person came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that action which leads to hellfire? The beloved Prophet ﷺ replied, telling a lie. When a person tells a lie, he commits a sin. And when a person commits a sin, he becomes ungrateful. And when a person becomes ungrateful, he enters the fire of hell. Sometimes people tell lies to make others laugh. But even then it's not permissible. It's been stated in a hadith that a person talks and talks just to make people laugh. But because of this, he falls into the hellfire deeper than the distance between the earth and the sky. And the mistakes which are committed because of the tongue are far more than the mistakes committed because of the foot. And one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, destruction is for the one who tells lies when he speaks to make people laugh. Destruction is for him. Destruction is for him. Allahu Akbar. Views of Madani Channel. From this, we learn about the devastations of lying and how evil this attribute of lying is. How as believers, in order to perfect our faith, we must become truthful people and we must rid ourselves of this evil trait of lying. If we are successful in doing so, not only will we gain blessings in this world and the hereafter, when we become of the Sadiqeen, we become of those people who Allah Almighty has ordered their company to be adopted. So, if a person reflects upon their life and realizes that he tells lies, then that person is not from amongst the truthful. If that person is not from amongst the truthful, then that means he is not from amongst those people whose company Allah Almighty has ordered that should be adopted. Meaning, that person is making himself, that person, due to lying, due to falsifying, that person, because of not telling the truth, that person is rendering himself incapable of being made a friend. That person has caused himself to be unworthy of being made a friend. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the verse that we started with, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Almighty tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the righteous. Be with those who tell the truth. Be with the truthful. Views on Madani Channel. In today's silsila, in today's episode, we've learnt about the importance of fearing Allah, the importance of adopting good company, and the importance of telling the truth. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Almighty enlightens our hearts with the nur of the Quran. Allah Almighty gives us the ability to act upon the teaching of the Quran. We pray that Allah Almighty gives us the ability to fear Him, to adopt company, to adopt a good company, and to be truthful. Keep watching the silsilas of Madani Channel. Attach yourselves to the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. If you want good company, you want good friends, then you're in the right place with Dawat Islami. You're in the right place with Madani Channel. Good company, it mentions that a good friend is the one who reminds you of Allah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the environment of Dawat Islami, when you come to the gatherings of Dawat Islami, the weekly ijtima'at, when you attend the Madani Ghafilas of Dawat Islami, you will find such good company who will remind you of the Quran, who will remind you of your salah, who will remind you of pious actions, who will invite you to actions of goodness. Views of Madani Channel, attach yourselves practically to this environment of Madani Channel, of Dawat Islami. If you're at home and nobody is with you, Madani Channel is such a beautiful companion. A companion 24 hours a day is ready and willing to teach you the blessings of our deen, the teachings of our beautiful religion, the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. Keep watching Madani Channel. Encourage those around you to watch Madani Channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiya Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa baraka wa sallam.